Sivoyile.
He used to make fun of his own name. Well, make fun of people making fun of his name. Siv Ngesi.
Wow, you said my name so nicely.
I did. I've been practicing all day.
You can keep your land.
Thank you.
You can keep your land.
I'm so pleased, but I don't have any land. tell me about Siv Ngesi and where you are in terms of the world which you inhabit, because people see you as the funny guy, but you've also branching into very serious acting and you're funding productions and all of that sort of stuff. That's what we're talking to Siv Ngesi about this evening, as well as his attitude towards money and how he was brought up with money. He just, as you walk into the studio, yes, mom, no, mom, yes, mom, yes, mom.
It doesn't matter what position you are in success, when your mother calls, you pick up.
You do. You don't ignore your mother.
And I say, yes, mom, no, mom. Mom, I'm about to go on radio. She goes, no, I'm talking now. I called you. So, okay. But mom, now mom's listening. Hi, mom. I love you.
Oh, he's such a sweet boy, really. Make Money Mondays brought to you by Sunland Private Wealth, your wealth, our crafts. And Ngesi is our guest this evening. You've done a lot of stand-up. People know you as the funny guy. But you're looking to diversify from the funniness.
The interesting thing is I started in serious acting, so that's quite interesting. I did 5 films last year and only one of them was comedy, so it's always quite interesting to see. And a lot of the stuff that I do, because I live in Cape Town, it's quite an international work, so a lot of South Africans don't see it. So a lot of times they're like, what, you act? I'm like, yes, I act, and I love doing serious work. The funny thing just came, and I've only been doing it for about 5-6 years, the comedy, 7 years now. So man, you know, putting food on the table, being funny and making people laugh.
Yeah, and that's part of the fun. I mean, there's no such buzz as getting an audience laughing. I mean, that's power.
Definitely. I think there's more. I wish you can get the same shock of making people cry as you when you make them laugh. But making them laugh is definitely some rock and rollness to it. But I just want to do other things and diversify as much as possible.
You've been playing touch rugby. You're wearing a Stormers shirt.
That is the beauty of radio. I have been running around for 2 hours. I stink like you won't believe.
No, you
I
don't.
Look
you've,
terrible.
You've hardly broken a sweat.
Aye, but I'm still here and you guys can't even smell me from where you guys are. But he can smell me.
And you're lovely. It's fragrant. The fragrance of Ngesi this evening. I mean, people say you're the most... I don't know if you're still under 40. You're still under 40?
Me, I'm 33.
But you were so influential under 40, like 3, 4, 5 years ago. People see you as massively influential. What is it?
Yes, I've won a few of those most influential under 35, most influential under 40. But I literally think I've only got the tip of the iceberg. I still want to do a lot more.
What is it about influence that grabs you?
No, for me, it's not really about the influence part of it. I just want to be able to get involved in things that change people's lives for the positive. We're an interesting part in our lives. Like even this morning, I woke up and I was quite upset about the state of our country. And then I listened to the interview by the principal of that school that lost 4 kids, which broke my heart. But he was like, I've received so much support that if these are the South Africans that are going to bring us forward, if you get a chance, listen to this, about 9 minutes. It's unbelievable. Yeah. He's just going, he's received so much support from South Africans. And actually, it made me feel proud to be South African.
Sad, it's often the tragedy that brings out the best in us.
I mean, definitely, definitely. Yeah. So I think we should bring back the World Cup again. Then we can start all over. 2010, please. Bring Philip.
Bring Philip. We need Philip.
Please. Yeah, La Doma, one all, yo, Mexico, boom, we're out.
But look, it was good while it lasted.
It lasted like a bad relationship. It was good, then bad.
And then there were tears.
Yeah, there were very much tears.
You know, I mean, yeah, we like to go boom and bust in South Africa. It's our favorite. That's our national sport. I mean, Kiefer Sutherland said nice things about you.
No, Kiefer had some good things to say. And, you know, I was young and he had some good things, positive things to say about my acting skills. And yeah, man, I was in New York for 8 weeks, working towards going half New York, half South Africa for a while to do some work. And just, you know, doing some stuff. And I'm really, really looking forward to broadening my horizons. I have no kids that I know of anyway. So
careful.
I'm joking. There's no person out there who is my son or daughter.
011-883-07.
No, don't catch it all. Paternity tests are expensive.
I know. How do you know? So tell me about money. Tell me about where Siv grew up and what it was like in your house as a kid.
You know, I grew up in Kukuletu. And my mother was a principal and she was like a magician.
That's why you're so scared of her, because she's got that authority.
Definitely. Yeah. And she was a principal. You know, we didn't have much. We didn't have much money. My mother was able to make things happen, and you never know, this toss-up woman, you don't know how they do it, but she was able to make things happen with not a lot of money. But I think my mother was very good at getting money from there and then paying that off, and then getting money from there and then paying that. So she was a hustler when it came to money. I don't know if I, was she the best with money? I don't know. She was the only example I had of money. Mm-hmm. But then the interesting thing is that I think this, and some great lessons that I learned was a lot from, I used to go to my white friends, you know, at the dinner table, and they used to, you know, I learned a lot from their fathers and their mothers as well. So I learned from many people. I learned from the mistakes for my mother, and I learned from the mistakes of a lot of my friends' fathers and mothers and all that kind of stuff. But my mother taught me a lot, and I'm trying to learn a lot things what not to do and things what to do from her as well.
I mean, you were the voice of 10X Investments for a while.
Yes, I was.
You did. Have you invested money? I don't know where you've invested. Are you an investor of
yes,
money?
Yes, I am.
Do you believe your own advertising?
I am. You know, I do invest in money. I invest in a lot of projects. I invest in a lot of things and property and all that kind of stuff. But for me, what I like investing in projects that I can see put together. Like I invested in Richard III with
Allan Committee. It's a show that's happening in Cape Town at Maynard which is the open air theatre. My colleague John Matham on Cape Talk is in the play.
Please watch it. I'll enjoy taking your money. Please.
As long as you make it worthwhile. You're not appearing though.
No, I'm not appearing. But we have a great cast. It's going to be amazing. Allan Committee it's his favourite show. So I invest in a lot of kind of stuff like that as well. I'm producing 16 shows at the National Arts Festival.
16.
I had 11 last year and I had 14 the year before. I own my own venue at the National Arts Festival every year. So I'm taking two venues this year.
Which ones?
We can't talk about that just yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to phone Tony Lancaster at the festival.
Oh,
ask
Tony.
Him.
We like Tony.
Do we like Tony? Yeah, I like Tony. I've known him a long time. I've known him since he was thin.
Oh, wow. Did he have freckles then?
He did have freckles.
Ah, okay.
He's always been tall and very influential and very, very powerful. So let's not upset Tony.
I love
it. Siv Ngesi is our guest this evening. He is, you know him best as a comedian, but he's also a serious actor and a guy who's serious about money. We'll talk to him about that in just a moment. Siv Ngesi is our guest this evening. Mum taught him how to hustle with money. He learned about money from the dinner tables of his parents' friends. What's your earliest memory of making your own money? Were you a busy kid who could make a buck?
My grandfather used to sell fruit. One of my biggest influences. He was a great man. They called him Vit Boy. So when I was 4, 5, 6, whatever, he when we had no money, he used to get into his car, had no license, had a sub B, right? But he had a car. He could put a car together. And he used to get into the car, and we would become a taxi. And we used to make money. I used to be the guy key taking people's money at 4, 5 years old. And we would go and we'd collect all this money, and then we'll buy sheep heads together and eat sheep heads together. It's the most amazing memory I have of my grandfather. He passed away, but we used to sit and eat, dissect sheep head, the tongue, everything, sell fruit. He was a big hustler and a big influence of mine. And then my grandmother had a Shabin and.
But there's no way to better learn the mechanisms of profit margins, understanding the cost in, price out, and understanding what it takes to turn a profit in a business when you are working on really tough margins like that.
Now, I was raised in a Shabin. My grandmother had a Shabin. We used to kick people out late nights. We used to pour tots, go back, do all these things. And I watched it from that place. So it's funny when you brought it up now, I've only thought of it now that's where it all started. My mom's sister, my mom and my grandmother had a Shabin.
As an aside, I mean, what's your attitude towards alcohol? Do you like a drink, or did that put you off drink for life? Because often working at a pub will do.
I'm 33 years old. I've never touched a single drop of alcohol.
You can see what it does to people. People behave crazy when they have a drink.
But I work a lot with alcohol. So
it makes you funny. I mean, sorry.
So I work a lot with alcohol. Like this whole weekend, I emceed the Tens tournament for 2 days, which was just drunk, debaucherous. And I did this superhero thing yesterday, MC. So I've got nothing against alcohol. It's just I made a decision not to ever try it in my life.
And then again, I mean, you're fit, you're healthy, and you're more efficient. without it, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I have other bad habits, but we won't talk about that now.
What are those?
My mom's listening.
Oh, okay.
My mom's listening.
Do you have bad money habits? Because, you, I mean, you're a busy guy. You do lots of different work. You invest in different projects, the projects you refer to. You invest in plays. You invest in theater. You invest in
film as well.
Jeepers. Oh, you poor thing. I'm sorry about that.
We try. Bad money habits. I do. I didn't come from much. So when I don't come from much, I want what I want when I want it. And I don't let anyone tell me what to do with my money. So if I walk out of here and I feel like going to Test Kitchen for say, and it's 3,000, I will go and eat what I want to eat. I remember
You can get a booking at that place.
No, the owners and I are good friends. So
you see, you're one of them.
They will make a booking somewhere. but for me, one thing I didn't have, I remember when I was a kid, I used to have like, one pair of shoes for church, school, formal functions, and one training shoe and a flip flop. Now I have 128 pairs of shoes because I can.
But that's the thing. I mean, and you can't hold it against anyone. You think 120 pairs of shoes, that's a bit excessive, Imelda. But it's, my friend Gary Oberholzer, who works in our Prime Media Broadcasting office, when he was at Rhodes University, won the Imelda Marcos Award for the number of shoes he had. But I think you've probably got more than him.
But mine are predominantly free.
Oh, you see. Yeah. Aren't you lucky?
Yeah, they call it privilege. It's not privilege. It's just
access.
It's just payback and access.
bad money habits, you spend when you want to spend. But again, if you got it, why not spend it? Do you save any? You invest in lots of different projects and stuff. Do you save money?
Yes, I do save money. I do save money. How do I save money? Mm. You know, I have accounts that are savings accounts that I put stuff in, and I have, you know, I have a person who helps me with my money, put different things in there. And when I did the first checks that I got, I bought shares in different things, which I won't mention, that I got involved in, and I get involved. I have a production company that I have with friends that I've started, and a content creation company that I've actually invested in that's doing quite well. So just doing that kind of stuff. I even have a company called Inyama that does buying of meat at different events, and another one called Wingmen that does all the festivals around the Western Cape. So I do have businesses, and I do have things that I invest in, and I'm trying my utmost. But the thing is, the biggest issue with being an entertainer and a freelancer is that you need to be there to make the money, which I hate having to. Sometimes I get things when I get booked for three events and I can't do them.
Yeah.
So I need a passive income. So if I am somewhere else, I know I'm making money somewhere else.
It's about making money when you sleep, and it's the hardest thing to do. Or making money while you're making money elsewhere.
Yes, and that's what I'm trying to get to. Because as a freelancer, I know that I can be on stage making that big money, but I know that I have to be there to do it. And that is the biggest.
And until holograms become really good, you can't be more than one place at once.
Yes. And that is what I'm trying to do at the moment, is be able to get that passive income going.
What has been your biggest regret with money? Or your biggest money mistake? The small Inyana skeleton, to coin a phrase, because there's lots of those.
You know, the thing is for me, like, I had friends at school who were good with money from an early age because they had money, and all they could fall back on was having money. So my fallback on is poverty. So my fallback is I could become poor, you know, because we didn't have much. So like sometimes I watch the way my friends when I grew up, how they dealt with money. I wish I learned that from an early age, because you can see it's. And I'm going to use this word, and a lot of people are going to go, it's a privilege to know how to work with money.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you don't grow up with money, if money's not a constant discussion around a table,
So
it's scary and it's foreign.
Yeah. So for me, here's an example, and I'm sure they're listening, the Davidsons. I had a great friend of mine called Warwick Davidson. There was Tony and Norma. And Warwick and them, at the dinner table, I used to learn so much from Tony and Norma and Warwick, because how they dealt with money in that environment. So I learned so much from them, because, you know, they had money, but they weren't like out there buying the most flashiest of cars or flashiest thing. But I learned so much from them. And if you're listening, Tony and Norma, thank you so much. I love you guys so much. You guys taught me so much about money in ways you didn't know possible. But it is a privilege to learn how to work with money. And if you have money, you don't understand that.
But again, because it's just normal.
Yeah, it's normal for you. Yeah. For me, I had to, there's a couple of bad habits that I needed to unlearn. You know, they
are
things.
Cars?
No, that's another thing that I'm glad my mother didn't teach me. I'm not big on cars. Me, point A to point B, Uber, even though Uber likes to make nonsense these days. But for me, I'm not flashy on cars or clothing. I have a lot of clothing sponsors. I don't really have much expenses, which has really helped me in my lifestyle. But I don't have many expenses because a lot of stuff I get for free.
What's the best thing you've ever done with money?
My mother turned 60. And my mother turned 60, and my gift to her was R1,000 for every year she's lived. And I know that sounds stupid or whatever, but to be able to give her money that, and my mom took it and she traveled.
Oh, awesome.
And for me, that was the greatest thing I've ever done with money. Or, yes, I paid for my niece's 18th and her matric dance. For me, that was to see her walking, being able to go to her matric dance, it's priceless. I will work every day and slave every day if I could do stuff like that.
But you love experiences and you love letting other people have experiences.
Yes, I do.
You get your joy from that.
Yeah, my joy is giving. I have an organization called Dignity Drive, which is a passion thing I'm quite passionate about. It's about sanitary products, it's all done for my pocket. It's about being able to get sanitary products to young ladies in this country.
Get girls to school and let them become women and get them to be there 30 days in the month.
Yeah, for me, if men bled once a month, sanitary products would be free. And I think it's an injustice that it isn't. And men, you know, if we had blood coming out of us every month, that stuff would be free. There'd be vending machines. We'd be swapping them at school. We'd be playing games with them. Ha, I'll give you one tampon for an hour. Ah, give me that tampon. Ah, that pet looks nice. Give it here. Give it. It would be that. You know what I mean? And for me, that's another thing that I'm quite love working with and towards and stuff.
Wonderful discussion this evening with Siv Ngesi. Siv, thanks for coming.
Thank you so much, man. I'm really impressed that you invited me. Hey.
Well, we had a gap.
Wow.